learning something about business?
I am, yes.
A new party planner gets on-the-job training.
How many people did you originally tell her that you planned on having?
50.
And how many people did you end up having?
It was a little more than that.
You see, it's all very loosey-goosey.
And a paycheck is never guaranteed.
She sent me an invoice for $485.
Sounds pretty reasonable. How much did you pay her?
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Party planner Kelly Goodwin is suing her former friends, Donna and Thomas James Mullen, for failure to pay for services rendered for Donna's 40th birthday party.
Order. All rise. Case number 36 on the calendar in the matter of Goodwin versus Mullen.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Judge. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Ma'am, have a seat, please.
Ms. Goodwin, you performed party planning services for the defendants. Whose birthday was it? It was your 40th birthday.
Yes.
And you were not paid.
Correct.
That's what your lawsuit is about. Who did you have discussions with?
Initially, I had a discussion with Mrs. Mullen.
Okay. And you were starting a new business.
I was.
And the new business was a party planning business.
Yes.
On what date did you have these preliminary discussions with Mrs. Mullen?
Mrs. Mullen contacted me on social media around May 31st. I met with her at the beginning.
Just a second. Do you have a copy of that email?
I don't have it with me. No,
well,
not the initial.
Do you have it?
Yes.
I'd like to see it, please. Thank you. Okay, so this says, "Hey girl, so glad you are walking in your purpose and gifts." This is from you to her. "And yes, you have my support. So much, in fact, that I would like to utilize your services for my 40th birthday party in September." That's what you say to her. Because your defense is that you didn't have a contract with her. And if she was going to charge you for these services, she should have executed a contract with you so that you would know up front what the services cost.
Yes.
Let me give you my first impression of that. You can look at it from both sides. You can say, you reached out to her, and you don't say, "I'd like you to do me a favor," because clearly from your email to her, she has told you before that she's finally becoming creative. This was her creative side, and she's always wanted to do this. You know, you can write the script. Mm-hmm. And you're answering her by saying, "I support you. You're finally finding your way. And to show you my support, I want to utilize your services."
Yes.
That's what you said to her.
Yes.
Which means money.
Yes.
Doesn't mean gift, doesn't mean freebie, it means mm-hmm. money. Now, if you're in business, because what you say in your complaint is, you told her that if she would allow you to promote this party on your website and social media, that you'd give her a really great deal. That's what you say, right? So
right.
Here we have
yes.
the situation. You ask for her services. You say great, and I'm going to give you a great deal.
Yes.
But you don't fix an amount.
Correct.
That's not good business.
Correct.
It's also unreasonable to expect you're going to get something for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
If you took your car into the mechanic mm-hmm. and said to the mechanic, "Fix it,"
mm-hmm.
and came back and the mechanic said to you, "It's $4,000. The car is only worth $2,000. But I fixed it. You didn't ask me what the cost was to fix it. You just said, fix it."
Can I say something?
Do you understand what I'm saying
yes.
to you?
Yes.
So let's start with the premise, because this is the way I view the situation. You didn't fix the amount, and they asked for you to perform a service that they anticipated paying for.
Correct.
They just didn't know how much.
Right.
Can I say something for that? When we talked about the party, she asked me what my budget was. I told her my budget was between $1,000 to $1,500. She assured me that we could do the party within my budget, which is why I was fine with that, because she said we could handle everything within my budget.
So?
And it didn't.
For how many people? Listen to me. How many people, because we have a little bit of an issue there. How many people did you originally tell her that you planned on having?
50.
And how many people did you end up having?
It was a little more than that.
How many people did you end up having?
Well, who actually attended was probably around 60. But let me say, first of all,
just a second. That's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it's all very loosey-goosey.
Her decorating the party has nothing to do with that.
Listen to me. It's all very loosey-goosey. You have to pay. I'm telling you, it's just like taking your car into a mechanic and saying, fix my car, and not asking him how much it is. You utilize their service, and then when she gives you the bill, you say, that's ridiculous. That's not what I thought it would be. That's ridiculous. I didn't think my car would be that much. That's ridiculous.
She said that if I had any questions or issues regarding the invoice, to let her know, which I did.
Just a second. If you have any questions, you had questions or concerns about the invoice, you should let her know. So, how much of an invoice did she send you?
She sent me an invoice for $485.
Sounds pretty reasonable for a party planner. How much did you pay her?
I didn't pay her anything.
Well, how much did you offer to pay her?
I offered to pay her 20% of my budget because of what she put on her invoice. She had charges on here for meeting for
second.
When we were just hanging out, talking about the party.
No. Hanging out, talking about the party with someone whose business it is being a party planner. I plan a lot of parties. I have an event planner who does my parties. When he comes to my house and sits in my kitchen, we're having a cup of coffee, and he's telling me that he went to Miami over the holiday, and while he's doing that, he's putting out the sample menu. I don't think we're hanging out. I know that one way or another, I'm going to get billed for that.
There was no mention of cost of that nature.
You had a party with a budget of $1,500. And is what you're saying you offered her $300?
Yes, and she accepted.
Show me.
And she accepted.
Show me that you offered her $300 and she accepted it.
She actually offered it for less, but.
Well, just, I want to see. You're learning something about business?
I am, yes.
Great. Business, you need a written agreement.
Yes.
Stay on that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. She didn't agree to accept that. She was being very nice to you. And I'm going to read to you what you said. What you said was, the budget went well over the $1,500, and I did not know at the time how you would be charging for the event. That's because you didn't what? Ask. Knowing that I was over budget, I would have appreciated you providing me with estimate of your services, such as hourly. That's what you do. You say, how are you going to charge me hourly for the event? I do not want to nickel and dime you at all because I do truly appreciate your services. Well, that's sort of different than what you say in the answer. In your answer, you say you were dissatisfied with the services. But here in your email, you say, I truly appreciate your services.
I appreciated her offering to.
No, you appreciate her services, not her offer. Services, that's what you wrote here. That's not offer. You said, I truly appreciate your service. I figured it would be in the range of $250 to $300 based on 20% of the budget. That was in your brain. Put your hand down. She gave you a bill for $485, perfectly reasonable, perfectly fair.
It's not fair.
I don't care what you think. Look, we're going to take it out of car, and we're going to take it to something that women understand. Shoes. You go to buy a pair of shoes. Go into a very fancy store, doesn't have any price. Say, gee, those shoes are great, they're terrific. Why don't you just send those shoes right to my house, run my credit card, I don't have time. And now you wore the shoes, you went out for the evening, you went to the party, now you've worn the shoes, so you can't take them back. On your credit card statement, you see $2,000 for a pair of shoes, and you contest the charge. Whose fault is that? That's not the fault of the shoe store owner. That's your fault.
So even if the shoe store owner admitted that she did not do certain things that she was supposed to do and she offered them for free?
No, your fault. What she wants to get paid for is $485 for what she did. And you were satisfied. Listen to me, don't argue. You were satisfied with what she did because that's what you say in your email. I appreciate your services.
That's not all.
$485, judgment for the plaintiff. That's all, thank you.
Parties are excused, you may step out.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Simons Guard versus Milburn. Step forward.
Wade Simons and his mother, Barbara Guard, are suing Wade's ex-girlfriend, Charisse Milburn, for stealing his car. Charisse says the car's title and registration are in her name.
Mr. Simons, this is your mother?
Yes.
Why is she here?
Because she wrote out the checks to her and loaned her the money for the car.
Sit down, please.
Me sit down?
Yeah, sit down. doesn't have a lot to do with your mother, Mr. Simons. Has a whole lot to do with you. You and the defendant were in a relationship. While you were in the relationship, according to you, you wanted a car.
Yes.
And you bought a car. But you thought that you couldn't register the car in your name because of some outstanding problems that you had with either your license or the Department of Motor Vehicles.
Yes, ma'am.
So you put the car in her name.
Yes.
Then you broke up, and now you want your car.
Yes.
Has nothing to do with your mother. You can deal with your mother yourself.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
I'm not hearing a story I believe yet.
Your
Listen
Honor.
To me. I have to hear a story that I believe. The truth is going to set you free.
And later today.
Did you register the car? The answer is no. And you bought the car and you never registered it.
No.
So we got a lot of people who couldn't register the car. Hustle. Hustle bustle.
Real cases. Real people. Judge Judy. Wade Simons says ex-girlfriend Charisse Milburn stole his car. Charisse says Wade never transferred the vehicle into his name.
Now, what kind of problems did you think that you had with the Department of Motor Vehicles? Don't look over there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Look over here. What kind of problems did you have with motor vehicles?
I had a car that was repossessed, and the tags might have been turned in late from that.
You want to tell me what problems he had, why he couldn't register this car in his name?
I got a lot of stories, Your Honor.
No, I don't want to hear a lot of stories. I just want to hear about when you were in the relationship, what problems did he tell you he had with motor vehicles so that he couldn't own a car in his name?
The only story I got, Your Honor, was that he never had the money for various reasons.
No, that's not a reason for it to go in your name. I don't believe that. It doesn't make sense to me.
I don't understand your question then, I'm sorry.
Well, listening ears. Clearly, based upon his complaint and your answer, there was no understanding that he was making you a gift of this car.
Correct.
The car was to be his car. It was in your name in order to defraud the Department of Motor Vehicles. My question is, what was he defrauding them about? Did he have a driver's license?
Yes.
If he had a driver's license, then there had to be something else. Did he have outstanding tickets he didn't pay?
What he told me, Your Honor, was after we drove to pick the vehicle up at the dealership, was that he did not have proper ID. The dealer was unable to sell him the car. I wanted to help him out. I trusted him. And I was unaware there was any other reason.
Yeah, how can you not have proper ID? Your ID is on your license. You said he had a driver's license.
Mm-hmm.
So that's proper ID. I'm not hearing a story I believe yet.
With
somebody better come up with a story I believe, otherwise I throw you all out and leave you exactly where you are.
Your
Listen
Honor.
To me. I have to hear a story that I believe. Now, the truth is going to set you free one way or another. But if I hear stories that I don't believe, that don't make sense to me, and at my age, I actually don't want to hear new stories that, you know, I have to conjure up in my imagination. I have to hear stories that somehow strike a chord of common sense.
You want to start all over with me,
Mr. Simons?
What she said was true. They couldn't sell me the car because my license didn't match the address we wrote on the form. So her license matched, so her name was on the bill of sale. Now, she knew...
Just a second. Your license?
My driver's license,
license
the address
was
on that.
From what state?
Maryland. And this was Pennsylvania that we bought the car in.
There you go. So you were in a different state.
Well, hers was also in... No, wait a minute. Hers was in Pennsylvania at that time.
No, it was not.
Well, then there had to be another reason.
It might have been Maryland. But her, she
well,
did have a Pennsylvania
license. Well, what's the
story that
you gave me before about
she
not
did,
turning
did,
in your license plates on a
that,
car that,
is,
that got
repossessed? That is true also. She knew about that.
That's what she knew.
My car was repossessed in 2008, and my tags were at my father's house. The guy that came to tow the car away took the tags off, and my dad never turned them in for like a couple of months. So with the car having no insurance on it and the tags still being out there, when he turned them in, they could have issued a flag for when I got tags again later.
Are you
That's
telling me between 2008 and 2014 you didn't own a car?
We bought that car in 2012.
So between 2008 and 2012 you had no vehicle?
Yes. I lived with her for three of those years and I drove her car.
Oh, okay. So how are we going to resolve this?
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And later today...
And you purchased the car from Mr. Robinson. It did not come with a valid title, which enables you to register it.
Yes, Your Honor.
And if you can't register the car, then it's not a car. It's a goldfish.
Real case. cases, real people. Judge Judy. Wade Simon says ex-girlfriend Charisse Milburn stole his car. Charisse says Wade never transferred the vehicle into his name.
You know, Miss Milburn, that this car was never intended for you.
Yes, ma'am.
And you say that you paid insurance on that car.
Yes, I did.
For what months?
The entire time since 2012 until today.
Now, is what you're telling me that the arrangement was that he was supposed to pay the insurance?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. How many years did you live together while you were paying the insurance?
The insurance started in 2012. We met in 2010.
Okay. And then you separated when?
Officially, he moved out in
September 2013. Okay. And when you lived together, did you share expenses?
I paid all the expenses, ma'am.
What did he do?
He would help out with groceries occasionally, and he was to pay me $100 a month for that insurance.
But you continued to live with him, even though he didn't pay you the insurance?
He did. He stopped paying it in November of 2013.
Miss Milburn, he's getting his car back. Judgment for the plaintiff, I will cut an order that the marshal will go and pick up the car, and I will cut an order that the Department of Motor Vehicles is to put the car
in your
name.
Your Honor, if I may?
Do you understand? It's nonsense. Nonsense! You were living together as a couple. 3 years. That's what you said. You understood it was his car. Whatever convoluted reason he gave you, it was okay with you. And in 2012 and 2013, you lived together until September. You slept together. You ate meals together. And you didn't do anything with the car. You continued to insure it. Did you insure it on your policy?
Yes,
listen
ma'am.
To me. It was insured on your policy, which is probably why you did it in the first place. And I have no intention to go back and to figure out what he bought when he was buying food and what bills and expenses you paid for. He is going to get his car. Thank
ma'am.
You. Goodbye. No. Bye.
Pardon our excuse. You may step out.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Kelly versus Robinson step forward.
23-year-old Rebecca Kelly is suing 19-year-old Michael Robinson for the return of money she paid for a car. Rebecca claims she was never able to register the vehicle.
Miss Kelly, you purchased a car, a used car, from Mr. Robinson and are now complaining about it. I will tell you now that I'm not interested in whether it runs the way you want it to run or it stopped running or that it imploded. The only thing I'm interested in is your statement that when you purchased the car from Mr. Robinson, it did not come with a valid title which enables you to register it.
Yes, Your Honor.
And if that is true, then I'm going to give you your money back. If you can't register the car, then it's not a car. It's a goldfish.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Are you the victim of a scam? Go to judgejudy.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Now, when did you purchase the car from him?
February 12th of this year.
What kind of car was it?
A 96 Saturn.
How much did you pay for it?
$900.
Do you have the title?
Yes, I do.
May I see it? Well, this says the registered owner of the car is a George. Is this what Mr. Robinson gave you?
Yes.
At the time of the purchase?
Yes, ma'am.
Is that correct, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and you're not George?
No, ma'am.
Who is?
Honestly, I have no idea who George is, but I purchased a car from my friend right here, Jesse Altman, and I've never heard of his name before.
Did you register the car? The answer is no. You couldn't register the car because you didn't have a title. And you bought the car and you never registered it.
I had the car for about 2 weeks from the person I bought it from.
Just a second. Just answer my question. Did you ever register it?
No.
So we got a lot of people who couldn't register the car because it was taken from a George. And nobody knows who that is?
No.
Great. You get your money back. Give him back the car in whatever condition it's in. I don't care. Hustle. Hustle bustle. Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $900.
Thank you, Your Honor.
May step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
I had probably $20,000 total.
And you put that someplace under a mattress in your house.
Did her daughter discover her stash?
She was not working at the time. These are lottery tickets I found.
Judge Judy.
I mean, she bought the car for what it was, as is.
They told me that I couldn't register it.
I mean, I explained to her every little problem.
They said that I don't have proper trail of bill of sales.
I gave her all the bill of sales. You should say something when you get the bill of sales. You shouldn't wait until after.
Filthy, full of illegal substances, and...
That might have just been, there, man. I don't know.
It ran like crap.
It was a junk car at one point. She didn't know that because she didn't look at the Carfax. I've explained to her every little problem with the car, so I'm not in the wrong.